We hear about a very important symbol repeated several times in the readings today. The first reading from Isaiah, God's going to place the keys on the shoulders of Eliakim, going to take them away from Shebna. And then the Lord, Jesus says to Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth is going to be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose is going to be loosed. So this image of keys is very important for us. And normally, when we think about the keys to the kingdom, we associate that with the authority of the Roman pontiff, of the pope, that Peter was the first pope, right? And so there's been a succession of popes coming from Peter, beginning with Peter, and now being exercised in Pope Francis. So this supreme authority. But another a part of the church that keys are associated with is the sacrament of confession. So, because in the sacrament of confession, we see the priest being given the power to bind and to loose. So he looses when he forgives sins. He binds, okay, when he gives a penance. He binds sometimes when he says, or he makes a judgment that the person does not have true contrition, and so he's not able to extend absolution. So that can happen. For example, a person comes in, they confess a particular sin, and they have no intention, and they express it, that they're not going to change in any way. Well, you have to have true contrition. You have to have some sorrow and be ready to amend your life to receive absolution. So that would be an example of binding. So this idea of binding and loosing being associated with the sacrament of confession, and taking a step back, the power of binding and loosing being associated with a power that's been given. Probably two or three times a year I preach on the sacrament of confession. And what I like to do is like take a different vantage point, take a different element of the sacrament. Maybe it's the prayer of absolution. Maybe it's the act of contrition. Maybe it's the psychological component of the sacrament. But what I would like today is to take a look at the sacrament of confession, the sacrament of reconciliation, from the vantage point of power being given. Who is forgiving sins? So I think we have to start, first of all, by considering the sacrament in the context of God's plan of salvation. How does God save us? Well, he saves us in a particular way. He sends his son, and his son establishes a church. And we hear that upon Peter, he's going to build that church. So that's an important, very important first step to appreciating what happens in the sacrament of confession. Because there is a sense out there now that, a lot of people accept Christ, and a lot of people, choose to follow Christ, but Christ did not say that salvation can be reduced in just believing in the name of Jesus and accepting Jesus. Christ himself established a whole plan, a whole system in which his saving graces, what he did 2,000 years ago, would be communicated to us, would be shared with us, would be given to us here in the year 2014. So this organization that we call the church is the mediator of the saving grace of Christ. That's the way he established it. That's why we embrace it. That's why we call it a divine institution. Christ himself, who was God, established it. We talk about how in the business world and in a city or in a state, infrastructure is very important, right? Infrastructure is the basic structure of the organization, the basic elements that allow it to keep running. So what would be part of the infrastructure here in the city of Wichita? Well, sewer, right? Water, roads, police, electricity, right? Fire, schools, all of that's part of the basic infrastructure. And because of all of that, we pay a lot of taxes, right? But it allows our community to live together and to survive and to thrive. So those basic elements have to be in place. Well, in the business world, we can talk about infrastructure that has to be there too. This these organized components, this basic elemental structure that has to be in place that's geared and directed toward producing something. It can't be a haphazard putting together of a bunch of positions. It has to be thought out. What do we need? What are the positions that we need to accomplish our goal? So I have a friend of mine who has started his own business, and now he's, you know, anticipating retirement, and the business has been successful, and so now he's looking to how to continue the legacy after he's not a part of the business. And so he's been spending time over these last three several years putting together the positions and the constitution and the infrastructure, those necessary elements, so that the work to carry out that mission is going to be carried on further beyond him when he's not a part of it. And so think about this. This is the way Jesus is setting it up. He knows he's only going to be here for 30-some years. So he's establishing the structure. He's not just saying, I'm here now, just believe in Jesus and everything else goes. The only way that you could embrace that is by not reading the scriptures and not having any familiarity with the tradition. I mean, it's just foreign. If he would have did it that way, then we would embrace it that way. But he's the one who established it. He's the one from whom power comes from. And so what does he do? Well, consistent with the Old Testament, we have this image of keys and power being given to particular individuals to serve the purposes of God, not to dominate like Shebna was doing. He gets deposed, right? And so Eliakim, gosh, I practiced like 80 times. He's going to be given the authority to serve the purposes of God. And so that consistent way that's already being laid in the Old Testament is fulfilled in Christ when Christ gives Peter the keys. And he gives him the power of binding and loosing. So he is given divine authority, power from God. For what? The purpose of serving the mission. Not to dominate, not to rule over, but to serve the mission. And one of the ways that the power of the keys is exercised is in the sacrament of confession. And so understanding the infrastructure, the organization of how Christ established it, what is of divine institution and what is of human institution. There's some things in the church that are a human institution. Those things can be altered and changed. Like even the organization of a parish, a parish is not of divine institution. That's the way that the church has come to realize in this day and age the best way to organize the people of God. Does that make sense? But the authority given to the Holy Father, to Peter, that's divine institution. So that's something that cannot be compromised. And so then it's passed down to us in our day and age, in the life of the parish, in one of the ways, in the sacrament of confession. And the reason that that is such good news is that when you go to confession, then you are sharing and receiving in the power that Christ gave through Peter to the entire church through all of time, that our sins could be forgiven. And that's why you can walk out of that box, yes, and be relieved. Because you didn't just psychologically dump your sins. You were spiritually healed. A woman shared with me about a month ago how she had went through years of psychotherapy, weekly counseling, with little progress. Just a lot of woundedness from growing up. And she made a switch about a year or so ago and started going to confession on a regular basis. And she says what's happened in those few minutes of confession that she does every few weeks has done infinitely more than those years of psychotherapy that she received. Not that psychotherapy is a bad thing. There is a psychological component to us as human beings. That's important. But there's also a spiritual component. What happens in the confessional is not primary psychological. It's a spiritual healing. And it's the healing of the deepest part of ourselves. And why can we be, how can, and why can we be confident of that? Because of the power that we hear about given today that is foreshadowed in Eliakim and that is given to Peter, the power of binding and loosing. So what Christ did 2,000 years ago, that legacy continues on because of this infrastructure that he established. And now the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, the power of that grace, is shared with us here in 2014. It's only ours to respond to and participate in. What a beautiful gift and what a great opportunity for us all.